السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Over the past few days we have been discussing a dua of Rasul-e Pak صلى الله عليه وسلم which he taught the ummah so that it may benefit them in this world and in the akhirat. And as I have mentioned now many times, that in these days of fitna and fasad, in these days of corruption and mischief, in these days of killings and murders and hijackings and disasters, there is a need for us to make this dua extensively, to make it a habit, to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection of the different things that have been mentioned in this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. O Allah, I seek protection in you from the loss, from the snatching away, from the vanishing, from the disappearance of your ni'mats, your bounties which you have showered upon me. Don't snatch them away, don't take them away, don't let zawal come on these ni'mats. وَتَحَوُّلِ عَافِيَتِكَ, and don't let there be a turnaround of well-being. وَفُجَاءَةِ نِقْمَتِكَ, and O Allah, protect me. O my beloved Allah, I seek protection in you from the sudden coming of some azab, some disaster, some calamity, some destruction, from the sudden coming of any kind of problem. وَتَحَوُّلِ عَافِيَتِكَ وَفُجَاءَةِ نِقْمَتِكَ وَجَمِيءِ سَخَطِكَ. And that is the part that we were discussing yesterday, وَجَمِيءِ سَخَطِكَ. And O Allah, I ask you for protection from all types of anger of yours. Anything that makes you angry, that annoys you, that displeases you, I ask you for protection. Because we have read in the Quran Sharif and we have read in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah Ta'ala's azab only comes when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becomes displeased, when he becomes annoyed, when a person reaches the limit of sins, then Allah Ta'ala unleashes his azab. Otherwise he is so forgiving that he keeps the door open that the person must repent, make tawbah and return. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala on his time, a person got caught for stealing. So he said, Amirul Mumineen, this is the first time that I stole. This is the first time that I stole and I got caught. So overlook it, forgive me. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that it is not the habit of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to punish a person upon the first offense. He said, generally Allah ta'ala does not punish when the person commits an offense for the first time. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's habit that he allows the person to repent, to come back, to change his lifestyle, to make tawbah from his sins. But when he goes on and on and on with those sins, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's grip also is very severe. Just as his mercy is unlimited, his mercy knows no bounds. In the same way, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's anger is unleashed, then the mightiest powers of the world cannot do anything about it. They won't know what hit them and from which side and which angle and which direction and which force of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hit. They will not be able to put up any kind of defense against those powers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, those forces of Allah ta'ala. So then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, make investigation. So the investigations revealed, when they did some interrogation and investigation, they found out that this person was also involved in some other thefts. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very merciful. And therefore he has given in the Quran Sharif all the stories of the nations of the past, the causes of their decline, the causes of their rise and fall. So when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala became angry with them, then his azab came down in full force. So we are asking Allah Ta'ala for protection. That don't let us do things, O Allah, which will make you angry. Now I mentioned the other day about interest taking and giving, that that is one of the things that makes Allah Ta'ala angry. So that is just like taking your money in an open box to the bank. Why? Because we have made dua that, O Allah, don't let any zawal come on my ni'mats, don't let my ni'mats be snatched away, O Allah, all your bounties and your gifts, don't let them vanish and disappear. So I've made the dua, so now what is the need for any kind of protection? I can take it in an open box and go to the bank. So that person will not reach the bank. The money will go to, and most probably he will go to. So we have to adopt the means of protection. So here also when we are saying, O Allah, we don't want your annoyance, your anger, then we have to check our lives. What are those things that are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, annoying him, getting him angry, which brings about his azab? So I mentioned that just as interest taking and giving angers Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and then he snatches away that ni'mat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that when a person takes interest, when a person is taking interest, then his eyes are seeing that there is an increase in his wealth. The person will see an increase in the wealth if he is taking interest. If he is getting gambling money, if he won a jackpot or a lotto, then he will see an increase in his wealth. His eyes are seeing an increase. You go to any accountant, any auditor, any bookkeeper, any student who, even of class 1 or 2, who knows multiplication, division, addition, he will say that there is an increase. The person had 10 rand and he won 13 million rand, 20 million rand lotto. So great increase came, great increase. The same with interest, his money has multiplied, it has doubled. So the eyes are seeing an increase, but Allah Ta'ala is saying, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. On the other hand, when the person is giving sadaqah, then his eyes are seeing that there is a decrease. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when the person gives sadaqah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases his wealth. So who are we going to believe? We are going to believe our eyes, or we are going to believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? That is the test of our iman. So in the lifetime of that person you will notice, and if not in his lifetime, as I said, in a generation or two, you will find that all that wealth that had come in the haram way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make that wealth an azab upon that person. Even if that wealth stays in his possession, it will be an azab on that person. That person will have no peace of mind. He will have no happiness. Allah Ta'ala will put one problem such in his life that he will try his best. He can have all the wealth in the world, but that wealth won't remove that problem. Allah Ta'ala will make his life miserable. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala will take that wealth away. One child, one will grow up as a drug addict, and he will steal everything, or he'll squander everything, and if not in the lifetime of the father, as soon as he inherits it, he will go and gamble everything away in the casino. And these are incidents which we are witnessing with our own eyes. So if we want a protection of that wealth, if we want a protection of those bounties, then we must not do those things that are displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We must always avoid all those things regarding which it has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif or the Hadith Sharif that the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or the curse of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the curse of the angels of Allah are on such kinds of actions. The month of Ramadan, The Hadith Sharif is so well known, it is quoted so many times by so many people about Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam climbing or mounting the pulpit and on each step saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, when he climbed the first step, he said Ameen, second step Ameen, third step Ameen. The Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajmain asked him, Ya Rasulullah, so something very strange that you did today. Just to give the gist of it. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, when I climbed the first step, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he said, woe to that person, destruction upon that person. In other words, lanat and curse upon that person who gets the month of Ramadan, but he does not get forgiveness of his sins. In other words, he does not observe the fast as it should be observed. He does not restrain himself from the haram even in the month of Ramadan. Or he wastes the precious moments of Ramadan. He does not entertain this guest that Allah Ta'ala had sent to him, the month of Ramadan. He does not behave in a manner befitting a Muslim who is fasting in the month of Ramadan. Then the curse of Allah Ta'ala on such a person. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says Ameen on that curse. In other words, O Allah, so let it be. That is what Ameen means. That O Allah, let it be like that. That if that person is negligent, he is heedless, he is not giving any kind of concern, so then let it be like that. Let destruction come upon him. So now that was one of the things. We are not discussing the other aspects, but this is one of the things that is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ameen on. So now if the person is making dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik, and he's crying and he's shedding tears and doing everything, but he is not fulfilling the rite of that Ramadan. He is negligent, he is indulging still in those same sins and vices and evil that he indulged in at other times. So will that dua then protect that person? So that is why I was discussing, which slipped my mind, that incident of Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, that youngster came and said that, I just cannot seem to restrain myself from sins. I am very, very weak and I want to commit those sins. But at the same time, I am fearing the azab of Allah Ta'ala. So show me a way out where I commit the sin to and I don't get punished for it too. He said, how can that be possible? But nevertheless, he asked him a few questions. Or he counseled him, as we say, or advised him. He said, all right, if you want to commit sins, then commit your sin in a place where Allah Ta'ala does not see you. Commit it, but do it in such a place. If you want to commit zina, then commit zina somewhere where Allah Ta'ala doesn't see you. You want to steal, steal at a place where Allah Ta'ala doesn't see you. Any sin you want to commit, do it, but don't let Allah Ta'ala watch you. He said, Shaykh, that is impossible. How can I go to any place where Allah Ta'ala is not watching? Allah Ta'ala will be seeing everything that I am doing. As I always say, that even if there is a tiny little ant, tiny little black ant crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, Allah Ta'ala is aware of the movement of that ant. So you think Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala cannot see us. So he says, I cannot go to any place where Allah Ta'ala will not be seeing me. He said, well, if that is the case, then don't eat the rizq that Allah Ta'ala is providing. Because what sins you are committing, you have to have strength in your body to commit those sins. Without strength in the body, the person cannot commit sins. And the strength in the body comes through food and drink. Deprive a person of food and drink and then ask him to commit sins, how long is he going to commit? How long is he going to be able to survive? Slowly he will find that his eyes are failing, his hearing is failing, his speech has become blurred. Now he cannot speak. Why? Because there's no food. Total weakness in the body, and then he dies. So So he said, if you want to commit the sin, then don't eat the rizq and the food and the drink that is given by Allah Ta'ala. He is the provider of it. You are making use of his ni'mats for his disobedience. So that is not right. Then don't eat his food, so that when Allah Ta'ala questions you on the day of Qiyamah, that why did you commit these sins, then you can say, oh Allah, I committed the sins because I didn't eat the food that you gave. He says, that is not possible. How can I ever do a thing like that? I can't stay without food. He said, alright, if you cannot do that, then commit the sin, but get out of the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala and then commit it. The heavens and the earth belong to Allah Ta'ala. So get out of this kingdom, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ma'ashar al-jinn wal-insi in istata'tum an tanfuzu min aqtari as-samawati wal-ard fanfuzu la tanfuzuna illa bisultan fabi-ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadziban. O you assembly of human beings and jinn, if you think that you can come out from the horizon of the heavens and the earth, then do so. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is telling, if you think you can come out, then come out. You will never be able to come out without authority and permission from Allah Ta'ala. Who can come out? So he said, then go, come out, Prophet, and then after that commit your sin. He said, that's impossible, I cannot do that. Says, all right, then if you cannot do that, then when the angels of death come to visit you, when the angel of death will come to visit you and to extract your soul from every part of your body, at that time you must say that I'm not coming. At that time you must tell the angel of death, I'm not coming with you. Who are you to come and take my life and soul? Don't you know I'm Mr. Somebody? Don't you know that I am the president of a superpower? So at that time you must say that I can't come with you. I won't come with you. So he said, Ya Shaykh, that is not possible. When the angel of death will come, Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Ruh rag rag se nikali jayegi. Tujh pe ek din khak dali jayegi. The soul will be extracted from the body. Sand will be thrown over you. He said, well, if that is not possible, then do another thing. That when the Munkar and Nakir come into your grave to question you, then you must tell them that no entry into this grave of mine. Stay out, as we put signs, no entry. So you must tell the angels, stay out of this grave. I am not going to answer any questions. Who are you to test me? And who are you to punish me? So he said, that is also impossible. He said, alright, then forget about this world, let's take the Akhirat. When Allah Ta'ala says, for all your sins now, go and burn in the fire of Jahannam. Then at that time must tell that I won't go into Jahannam. I'll stay outside here. He says, even that is not possible. Says, if nothing is possible, then why commit sins? Why don't you make tawbah from sins? And then he advised him, and that person became a waliullah after that. So in this story, there is a great lesson for us. There is a great lesson for us that whenever we are tempted to commit these sins, then we must ask ourselves the same questions. We must address ourselves in the same manner and then see what reply we get. So these are things that make Allah Ta'ala angry. Sins make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala angry. There is no escape from that. It is the tolerance of Allah Ta'ala, because He is Haleem, He is Kareem. It is His tolerance that He does not punish immediately. He gives a long rope, He gives time. He gives an opportunity. He informs us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these are big nights, these are big days. These are occasions when du'as are accepted. These are occasions when tawbah is accepted. These are occasions when your repentance is accepted. So make the best use of these opportunities. وَنَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Inform my servants, inform my slaves that I am Ghafoorur Rahim. Now that is like Allah Ta'ala telling us that, look, I am Ghafoorur Rahim, so therefore repent, turn around, come back to me, leave your evil ways, then I will become pleased with you. Even if I became angry with you, I will forgive you. And when I will forgive you, then you will get my rahmat, you will get my mercy. And when you will get my rahmat and my mercy and my forgiveness, then your dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik wa tahawuli afiyatik wa fujaati niqmatik wa jami'i sakhatik will be accepted. Because now I'm not angry with you, I'm not displeased with you. Time flies very fast. So we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala give us that himmat and that courage. That is the purpose of these majlises. To build within ourselves that himmat, that courage. To restrain ourselves from those things that make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala annoyed, displeased and angry, and which then causes him to unleash his anger and his wrath. And then that is which causes our lives to become miserable, unhappy, narrow, tightened. And when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is happy, then even if that person's outward condition is of poverty, he's got patches on his clothes, he doesn't even have transport, he's living in a shack, he may be in a remote village, but inside his heart Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him peace and happiness. It's like that beautiful flower which is blooming in the midst of thorns. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. And that is the best of duas. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Make dua also Haji Abdul Razzaq Saleh ji, pioneer of this area and this. He passed away. What a Mubarak day. And also Suleiman Lokat's father on this Mubarak day. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless them with the highest stages in Jannat al-Firdaus. And may Allah Ta'ala make our life, our death also easy when it comes. Wa akhara da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.